Language is God's precious gift for human beings. Because we have language, we can express our thoughts and we can communicate with each other. We can express our sorrow, our joy, our dreams, our appreciation, and our love for each other. How wonderful it is to be able to do that. Without language, that would not have been possible. My sister came from Korea in August, and she doesn't speak much English. And my nephew, Peter and Annie, invited her for lunch. And Annie's mother came from Hong Kong, and she doesn't speak a word of English either. And they invited, and her mother came. She only speaks Chinese. My sister speaks only Korean. They both don't speak English at all. So I asked my sister, how did you survive? We just sat and we smiled a lot. We just looked at each other and smiled and we ate. That's how I survived when I first came to Canada. I was 19 when I came to Canada. I can speak a word of English. Now these days, people are very kind of cold, but in 1970s, they were very kind. And this kindness became a problem to me. So whenever I ride on bus, people start talking to me. But these days, people don't talk in subway. And they talk to me, and I didn't understand a word of what they're saying. So I just looked at them. If they smile, I smiled. If they were serious, I was serious. That's how I survived. Language is a beautiful thing that we are able to communicate through language. Sometimes I get response from my inner voice. Somehow, the particular word or phrase or thought on that day moves and inspire people. And they send me the response. Thank you very much for that word. That simple word, simple, like probably not even 30 words, that moves them and inspires them. We put up our sermons on the English service website, and I don't know who's reading or who's listening. Sometimes I get this email from India, and sometimes from all over the world, I get this response, and then once I got this response, and this person, that particular sermon, really touched him, helped him, and encouraged him. He just, I don't know who that is. It's not Korean, just English name, but I don't know who that person is. And he said he just came out of prison. And then living in this cruel, cold world was very difficult. But your word and your, somehow he came across the sermon, and that really helped me and then touched me. That week, the sermon that he read or listened was Dignity in the Midst of Humiliation. Because we have language, we can experience life more fully. Our relationships can be deeper. We can express how we feel with each other. I'm sure you all have certain book or poem that touched your life and it changed your life in a profound way. When I was in university, I read Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky, and that book really touched me. God created the world with word. And Jesus is the Word that became flesh. The language is the greatest gift God gave to all of us. But at the same time, the language is most dangerous weapon that can hurt each other. We can harm each other through the language that we use, through the words that we use. Sometimes it helps people greatly, but sometimes it hurts so deeply and profoundly. I know a person who doesn't wear long pants because he heard something from this woman about this leg and all that. He never wears long pants. So words can hurt. And James said, tongue is like a fire. He says this, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. So the language itself is not neither good nor bad. It's a wonderful gift, but depending on how you use it, it can be a very dangerous weapon to destroy other people. The most beautiful gift God gave to us can become the most dangerous weapon that can destroy people. Our tongue is so delicate, and it's very difficult to control. If you are able to control your tongue, you're almost a perfect person. No one can do that. Being able to control tongue is the highest level of discipline, spiritual discipline. So James said this, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. And he also said, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. So it is very important for us to think of our tongue and use it wisely to uplift other people. Don't let God's most beautiful gift be used as a weapon to destroy not only yourself, but others. Let your tongue be an instrument through which you can encourage and empower other people. I'd like to say three things about tongue. First, don't use your tongue to manipulate others. Don't use it to manipulate others. That's not why God gave us this beautiful gift. God gave us this beautiful gift to express our love for each other and our love for God, to worship God, to praise, to help each other, not to manipulate each other through the tongue. When you use your tongue to manipulate others, the most beautiful and precious gift becomes very ugly. Japanese says that they say that we have three faces. One we show to the public, to the people. That's a public face. And another one that you show to your family members or very close friends. And third face is a face that you never show to anyone. Sometimes we use language to disguise, to not express ourselves, to reveal ourselves, to disguise ourselves, to give distorted picture about who we are. we paint certain image through the words that we use. A lot of times we are not interested in who we are. We are more interested in how we are perceived to be who we are by other people, rather than really seeing who we are. And we continuously present this distorted image about ourselves, and especially about others whom we don't like very much. We paint certain image through the words that we use, hurtful image. We use these words to disguise, to paint a wrong picture, and also to manipulate. Don't use words to manipulate others. Sometimes people even lie. They use deception to manipulate others. I saw that a lot on debate the other day. What kind of lies? And continuously, they try to manipulate others through the words. This leads us to our second point. Speak from your heart. Don't say empty words. Don't use empty words. Speak from the heart. Be connected to your soul and speak what's in your soul. Speak who you are. Say what you really mean. Your words will be connected to you, and they will have the power. So there should not be division between what you say and who you are. You should speak who you are. There should not be that kind of distance between what you say and who you are. Jesus never said empty words. Jesus always spoke from his heart. Even though sometimes it is a difficult word, he always spoke from the heart. When you speak from the heart, people will become connected to what you say and who you are. There should be no discrepancy between who you are and what you say. Jesus gave us this very interesting parable. A father had two sons, and then he told them to go out to the field and work. And the first one said, "No, I'm not going to go." In the end, he went. But the second one, "Yes, sir, I will go." But those are all empty words, just to deal with the particular situation. He didn't really mean it. How many times do we do that? Just to get away, to deal with the situation, uncomfortable situation, we just say anything to get away with it, or to get away from it. And so he said, "Yes, sir, I will go." But he didn't go. Empty words, empty promise. Words by themselves are nothing. There is no energy. But when you speak from the heart, it has a power. Saying always the right thing is not what's important. Saying what is from the heart, that's what's important. Don't separate who you are and what you say. But the problem is, so many people don't know what their heart is like. They don't understand their heart. So they are so disconnected between what they say and what the heart wants to say, because they are not paying attention to their heart. So you need to examine your heart. And once you examine it, you speak from the heart. When you speak from the heart, you can be connected with others. Plato says this: "Every heart sings a song incomplete until another heart whispers back, then you become connected. Third, know when to speak, what to speak, and how to speak. It requires skill to be able to do that. When to speak, what to speak, and how to speak. You have to know clearly when it is time to be silent or when it is time to speak. And then you have to be very clear, what do you need to speak at this point, at this place, to this person? It is hard to know what to speak. And lastly, even though there's a very painful truth, how you speak it. That is very important. You speak with love and care. When you speak from emotion, that's not what it means to speak from the heart. Emotion is not heart. When you speak from emotion, many times you will regret what you said. When you're angry, many times you say things that you will regret later. So don't speak from emotion, but when you really speak, because emotion consumed by your emotion, you don't know what your heart speaks. But when you start speaking from the heart, you will know when to speak, what to speak, and how to speak. That requires spiritual discipline. When you are spiritually awake, then you will know that. Often people come for counseling, and when I hear them, many times, probably 99%, I don't know what to do. Because they have a problem, then I don't have a solution for their problem. They are smart people. So when I listen, I pray, usually. I listen and I pray. But amazingly, God gives me the words to speak. When to speak, what to speak, and how to speak. We should train ourselves continuously about this skill, develop the skill of when to speak, what to speak, and how to speak. Then you'll be able to guide people and lead people and uplift others with what you say. God gave you the most beautiful gift. Use it. Cultivate it. Develop it. And then use it not only for yourself, for the others, and for God.